Who is the Western media serving? The BBC have MI5 offices. I think what we're looking at here is a potential Third World War. Well, in the West, actually, most of the mainstream press, that is the mass media, likes to think that it can control the outcome of elections. They have a tremendous amount of spin. Newspapers like Rupert Murdoch's Sun boast of always predicting correctly who the Prime Minister is going to be, who the winning party is going to be, because what they tend to do is whoever they don't want to win the election, they release in the run-up all sorts of scandals to do with that party. So the press plays a very important part now in the West, and they actually work very closely together. So we have this massive plurality of different newspaper outlets, of television and radio, but actually there's a tiny number of people control all of them, and many of them are the same effectively neocon pro-war faction. And there's actually very few who are against the sorts of Western interventions that we've seen, for example, in Iraq and Libya and now in Syria. The question is, who is the Western media serving? Effectively, the West is not really that interested in democracy. The big business likes to choose who the government is going to be. That's why in Britain we've had such a terrible problem, supposed problem, with the Labour leader, the opposition leader, Jeremy Corbyn, because he's actually not part of the big business elite, where Tony Blair, the former Labour Prime Minister, was. And so they like to have an opposition party that's that has a right-wing bias, that is to say a pro-war bias. Now, the reason that I think that they are all thinking the same kind of thing is effectively what we've got is tax haven and tax dodging media corporations. They favour the Conservative Party because the Conservative Party in Britain, for example, is very much a party of the right. And it's what it's doing is it's making sure that the rich and powerful don't pay their fair share of tax. And so what we've got is the media generally steering towards this point of view, that the rich are in control, the rich have a right to decide what the outcome of elections are going to be, and they have immense lobbying power within the media. Most of the most articulate intellectual voices on the left are shut out completely. Just as, for example, in the run-up to the Second World War, the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill was shut off from the BBC. He wasn't allowed to speak. He wasn't allowed to talk on the BBC in the run-up to the Second World War, in the same way that most of the sensible intellectual voices are now shut off from the BBC. The BBC have MI5 offices, that is to say the Internal Security Service offices within the corporation, who actually exclude any really left-wing journalists from being promoted within the BBC. That means you end up with a very narrow point of view amongst the producers and the journalists in charge of the BBC, and that people like me, for example, who they trained, aren't really able to pursue the truth. And that's what we should be doing, and also working for peace. There is a very strong lobby in the West which wants to see intervention in Syria, and that they are prepared to use any sorts of devious means in order to try and quickly trick, literally over the space of a week, politicians and the public and the press into agreeing to intervene in Syria, as we saw with the Duma, alleged attack in Duma a couple of weeks ago. And so really you've got to be very clever in order to see through the enormous wave of lies that appears on the television every time, just as we saw in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, the dodgy dossier and the weapons of mass destruction then. All lies. And what happened? It was the people who were trying to tell the truth, that is the reporter Andrew Gilligan and the director general, the boss of the BBC, Greg Mike, who were sacked for trying to tell the truth. So the media is a serious problem in the West, and that's why I think that they're all afraid of democracy. Particularly because he's also moving away from NATO. Now, NATO is starting to fracture, as there's a lot of pressure put on European countries to get involved in Syria, for example, which they don't want to do. NATO has completely, I think, outlived its purpose back in the 1940s to resist the Soviet invasion. And yet they're going around actually now looking for trouble, looking for fights, and looking for wars. The reason for this is there's a very pro-war lobby faction who makes money from wars. That is to say, the people who claim the resources that are taken during the war And also, of course, the people that make money from selling weapons. They're scared of Turkey, I think, because Turkey has decided to take its own route. What we see in the run-up to major conflicts, and I think what we're seeing now, boxes by the Americans, they believe something like up to 20 covert United States bases inside Syria. There is clearly a fight on for the country. You know, we've had the defeat almost now of ISIS, and yet the Western powers are still want to try and take the country. So ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen, but it seems like there may be a major east-west conflict between Russia and the United States, Russia for Syria. But in that kind of scenario, what happens is you get what the American intelligence people I speak to call the hardening of the sides. Now, what that means is that every independent nation in the region is going to have to take one side or the other in the run-up to a major conflict. And I think Turkey is being actually quite brave in being independent and still trying to assert its independence. One thing I would say as well, I think what we're looking at here is a potential third world war. And if you look at the statements of the Israelis, it's pretty clear what the plan is to, because there is no peace between the Israelis and the Arabs. Ever since 1995 and the fantastic peace rally in Jerusalem with Yitzhak Rabin, the Prime Minister, who was then tragically shot dead, is we've had Netanyahu in power. Netanyahu is not interested in peace is because he's effectively a kind of Zionist fundamentalist. He believes the Bible has prophesied that there will be war in the Middle East. And he sees that as between Iran and Israel. One of the major signs is the moving of the embassy from Tel Aviv, the US embassy and other embassies possibly, to Jerusalem. Then after that, what will, I believe, happen is you'll see the Al-Aqsa Mosque demolished on Temple Mount and the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. Obviously, many Jews want to see this, but this is potentially going to ignite a third world war. So you'd have Iran and you'd have the other Arab nations fighting the and Islamic nations fighting the Israelis, and that would of course drag in other countries like the United States and Russia, who very much have a presence nearby in Syria. That sort of US-Russia conflict could then bring in China too, and I think that's the scenario we've got to be very careful.